Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Some sermons are an event, and so it is with this one. I was outside in my backyard early yesterday morning, praying and walking, slowly breathing. I was in a contemplative space, thinking about the readings for this fifth Sunday of Lent, the dramatic presentation of dry bones in the Ezekiel passage, and the heaviness surrounding the death of Lazarus. I was praying about the insights in this sermon. And as I moved slowly around my garden, I looked lovingly at my three roses and wondered when I last fed them. I observed baby apricots forming on my tree and hoped the squirrels would not be as successful as last year when they jumped from the garage onto the tree and ate eagerly away. I was engulfed in the freshness of a new morning and the variety of green that surrounded me when I realized what a contrast this little world of spring beauty against the readings of today, dry bones and death. So thus I was walking, meditatively considering my sermon, when I was attacked. It was probably the slow pace of my strides that allowed a bird to line me up in their sights and fire a warm, wet one. I was startled by the bird's poop on my face. With me lost in contemplation, the bird must have been coming in at an angle to have been able to fire such an accurate frontal attack. It was warm and wet. Now, the opposite of wet is dry. And there are degrees of dry as there are degrees and types of wet. A dry sponge is absolutely useless. A wet one can do the job. An old dried-up sponge is disgusting. It is hard and scratchy and curled up. A sponge needs moisture to come alive, like a body needs breath to live. And so it was, into a dry, lifeless desert, God led Ezekiel, his prophet. It was a desert without moisture, full of dry human bones, drier than any dried up sponge abandoned under your sink. And like the instructions on a package of sponges from Trader Joe's, dip into water before use, God gave Ezekiel instructions as he observed the dry bones before him. Dried, parched, lifeless bones became alive as God put his spirit in them. God spoke to Ezekiel, "O breathe, breathe upon these slain that they may live." And into one of the darkest, driest moments in the history of Israel, their exile in Babylon, God used Ezekiel to stir their imaginations and give them hope. Each of us has had experiences of dry bones, situations in which we feel lifeless or dried up. Situations in which we feel captive, where there is nothing we can do. We have been in moments where results are out of our control. For example, standing outside of an operating room, it is hard to hear the doctor say, "Wait out here." It is agonizing to wait for results from blood work or a second mammogram, or after a job interview, or hope that a medication will work. It is hard to wait for a bone to heal, a muscle tear to mend. And it seems like forever when you send a message to someone, whether by email or texting or voicemail or snail mail, and wonder if it will do what we had hoped and mend a relationship. Martha and Mary had sent Jesus a message. Their brother was dying and waited. The two sisters were definitely overcome with grief, almost inconsolable. Lazarus was very dead. It had been 4 long days since he had died. But into this dark moment of death, Jesus finally arrived. And Jesus prayed, and he called out for his friend to return to life. This was not a matter of resuscitation, but resurrection. God breathed new life into him. And God is present in the midst of all of our little deaths and struggles. Our world today and our lives have valleys of dry bones, places that only the power of God can transform. We name them Sunday after Sunday, including the Middle East, North Africa. The list grows. We hear of the sufferings of the Congo and the earthquakes in Japan. But as we move through Lent, let us consider the emotional earthquakes we have endured. Let us consider what dry bones are represented in our spiritual journeys. What can you learn from the lonely or parched periods of your spiritual journey? What can you learn about yourself and your relationship with the world from the painful roads that you face? Now, Ezekiel did not see instant resurrection, dry bones with instant bodies, instantly walking around. Ezekiel had to let go and let God instruct him. Ezekiel needed to cooperate with what God was telling him. He had to wait and watch as the Spirit of God entered the moment and transformed it. We too have to watch and wait. As water makes a lifeless sponge take shape, so can the breath of God fill you with hope, no matter how dry or dead your feelings are. We have been sometimes in situations so difficult, we hardly know what to say. But in today's gospel, the final frontier was conquered. Jesus entered the very pain of death and cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out alive. This narrative invites us to consider the possibility of resurrection in the midst of those seemingly dead places in us and in our communities. The raising of Lazarus is for everyone who has ever felt that what has happened to them is so horrible, it's not even worth living. This story is for anyone who knows that even if their diagnosis is terminal, death will not have the last word. Today we hear a promise only Jesus can make. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. In the letter to the Romans, we hear, to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. This is a dry, empty abalone shell. It once held a living snail. but now it is lifeless. Ezekiel was led by God to a valley not of dry, empty abalone shells or dried sponges, but to a valley filled with lifeless, parched human bones. In other words, us. As our journey through Lent draws near to Easter, these passages today remind us that God not only gives life, God restores life. Today we hear a promise only God can give. I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. This breath is the Spirit of God. This breath moved forth into the Lazarus story. And 2 weeks from now, on Easter Sunday morning, this same breath was breathed into the crucified Jesus, lifting him up to resurrection life. And this same breath touches us when the Spirit came upon us at baptism. This breath moves into our world day after day, raising people to new life when all odds are against them. I started this sermon by saying some sermons are an event, and so it is with this one. Take a slow, deep breath. Take another one. The breath you have is from God. It's a divine breath that restores you. So I offer a question. Can the dry bones in your life live? The answer, yes, most definitely yes. Because the breath of God, the Spirit of God, is in you. So breathe in God. Amen.